fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's good to be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone after a long Father's Day weekend. And thanks to Muckbill Yabberow for hosting the show on June 15th and June 16th. Some U.S. history now for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners. Today marks the Juneteenth federal holiday here in the USA. The name comes from the day, June 19th, 1865, when U.S. soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, and informed slaves that they were free. Now, slaves had already been freed in other parts of the southern United States, but most slaves in Texas were kept in bondage until the army arrived. Originating in Galveston, Juneteenth has since been observed annually in various parts of the USA as a celebration of African American history, culture, and progress. Juneteenth was first recognized as a U.S. federal holiday in 2021. In African men's football, it was a big weekend of qualifying matches for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Joining us now with a report is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings and happy Juneteenth, Prince.
Sporty greetings and happy Juneteenth to you and all our listeners from all over the globe, Sunny. Napoli striker Victor Osimhen and his Leicester City counterpart Kelechi Iheanacho are all on target as the Super Eagles of Nigeria secured a 3-2 win against the Lyon Stars of Sierra Leone at the Samuel Doe Stadium in Liberia. The three-time African champions punched their ticket to the AFCON finals, which are scheduled to take place next year in Ivory Coast. Nigeria lead Group A with 12 points ahead of the Wild Dogs of Guinea-Bissau, will also be taking part in their fourth successive AFCON finals appearance. Moving on to Group B, former Manchester United midfielder Bebe, João Paulo Fernandes and Tavares all netted to help the Creoles of Cape Verde beat the Stallions of Burkina Faso 3-1 at home to book a spot in the AFCON finals tournament. Meanwhile, Egypt beat the Bright Stars of South Sudan 3-0 in a friendly match played at the Cairo International Stadium. Mahmoud Karaba, Mustafa Fathi and skipper Mahmoud Trezeguet all registered their names in the score sheet to help the Pharaohs secure a win in their first ever meeting between the two countries. The Pharaohs qualified for AFCON finals just a couple of days ago after coming from behind to beat the National Elephants of Guinea 2-1 to take top spot in their qualifying group with a match left to play. Meanwhile, the Black Stars of Ghana could only manage a goalless draw against the Barre of Madagascar in Group E and will have to wait for the last round of qualifiers scheduled to take place in September to book a place in the AFCON finals. Kelonda Gaspar and Milson also scored for Angola, walked away with a 2-1 win against the Wild Beast of Central African Republic. The Palancas Negras joined the Black Stars on 8 points at the top of Group E and are within touching distance of qualification. In other fixtures, Simon Msuva netted the sole goal as Taifa Stars of Tanzania beat the Menace of Niger by a 2-0 in a match that was played at the Benjamin Mkapa Stadium in Dar es Salaam. Taifa Stars' opportunity to make it to Ivory Coast was also given a boost after the Uganda Cranes suffered a 2-1 defeat against the 2019 AFCON winners, the Desert Foxes of Algeria, in a match that was played at the Japoma Stadium in Cameroon. Mohamed El Amin Amora scored twice for the hosts, while substitute Fahad Bayo netted Uganda's consolation goal. Algeria, who've qualified for the tourney, lead the group standings with 15 points, while Tanzania second with 7 points.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Moving on to Group G, Ibrahima Kone Nene both scored to ensure the Eagles of Mali secured a 2-0 away win against the Red Devils of Congo to qualify for a 9th successive finals. Comoros also claimed a 1-0 away win over the Crocodiles of Lesotho thanks to late goal from Yusuf Mchangama in a Group H clash played at the Orlando Stadium in Johannesburg. And in Group I, the return of former Arsenal skipper Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang wasn't enough for the Panthers of Gabon, who lost 2-0 at home against the Leopards of Democratic Republic of Congo, thanks to goals from London-born Aaron Tshibala and Tanzania-based striker Fiston Mayele. The Zelang Nacional of Equatorial Guinea beat the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia by a 2-0, thanks to a late penalty from Emilian Sue in a Group J clash. Equatorial Guinea joins the Carthage Eagles in qualification for the AFCON finals. Gape Mohutiwa scored right before halftime to help the Zebras of Botswana secure a 1-0 win against the Mediterranean Knights of Libya in a Group J match, which saw both teams fail to qualify for the AFCON tournament. Bafana Bafana of South Africa also defeated Morocco 2-1 in a Group K match played at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg. Munir Mohamedi and Zakele Lipasa scored for the South Africans, while Chelsea midfielder Hakim Ziyech scored Morocco's consolation goal. Both teams have already qualified for the tournament. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Senegal were also held to a 1-1 draw by the Cheetahs of Benin. Abdoulaye Seck scored for the Lions of Teranga before Abdul Rashid Moumini equalized for the hosts. With their qualification already secured, Senegal will be taking lessons from their tough duel against Benin in preparing for the upcoming African Cup of Nations. Sunny, with the AFCON qualifiers all at their later stages and with several teams having already qualified, it's also important to note that the Harambee Stars of Kenya and the Warriors of Zimbabwe did not get a chance to compete with other nations in the qualifier due to their respective FIFA bans. And finally, staying in tune with the Juneteenth celebrations happening today in the U.S., a federal holiday marked to commemorate the emancipation of enslaved African Americans in the U.S., the Samba Boys of Brazil abandoned the iconic yellow and green jersey and instead played in an all-black kit for the first half of their 4-1 win against the National Elephants of Guinea as part of an anti-racism campaign in a match that was played at the Espanyol Stadium in Barcelona. The gesture comes after Brazil's Real Madrid forward Vinicius Jr. was a target of racist abuse in the La Liga campaigns this season. The 22-year-old converted a late penalty to seal a routine win for his side. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince! Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. As Prince Nesta reported, Nigeria's Super Eagles qualified for next year's Africa Cup of Nations with a 3-2 victory over Sierra Leone in Monrovia, Liberia. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at aclsports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
Well, congratulations to the Super Eagles and their fans worldwide for that win against Sierra Leone. Although the game turned out to be quite much more difficult than they thought it would be, especially after going 2-0 up in the first half, courtesy of two goals by Victor Osimhen. And just like the Sierra Leoneans did in Benin City in October 2020, when Nigeria raced to a 4-0 lead in the first half and they came back to draw the game 4-4, It was as though the game would end 2-all before the stoppage time winner by Kelechi Iheanacho. It was a game of two halves, like it's always said. Both sets of players really give good account of themselves, really, and I must really thumbs up the Sierra Leonean team for really giving the Super Eagles the fight in that game in Monrovia. At the end of the day, the Eagles qualify for the AFCON with a game to spare, and I must say congratulations to their coach, Jose Peseiro, in his first adventure in Africa, and he has at least done the minimum for the Super Eagles.
The Super Eagles were 2 goals up before Sierra Leone equalized. What do you think went wrong with the Nigerian team?
Well, I wouldn't rather attribute it to what went wrong to the Super Eagles, but rather I would like to commend the fighting spirit of the Sierra Leoneans. And like I mentioned earlier, it's not the first time they've really pushed Nigeria's Super Eagles all the way, you know, and it's just a testament of the work John Kista has done with the Leone Stars ever since taking charge of the team some 4 years back. So it's very good. It was a pulsating game of football, and the neutrals from Liberia that watched the game will have enjoyed every bit of it. Yes, you could accuse the Super Eagles of being a little bit complacent and losing concentration when they went 2 goals up. They could have scored up to 4 in that first half with Samuel Chukwueze and Moses Simon missing some chances. But then Nigeria were 4-0 up in Benin City, Nigeria, back in 2020 against the Sierra Leoneans, and they equalized in the second half. So it was just a very good way of football, and of course it's a way of appreciating how determined and how much fight the Sierra Leoneans have in them.
Fisayo, what's your assessment of some Super Eagles players in the game against the Leone Stars of Sierra Leone?
Perhaps I'll focus on the players that cover themselves in glory at the Samuel Kayondo Stadium in Monrovia on Sunday. And of course, top of them is Victor Osimhen, who continued from where he left off in Europe, scoring twice in the first half.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Could have also had a couple of assists, you know, setting up teammates like Samuel Chukwueze, Kelechi Iheanacho, but they couldn't really finish the opportunities. It was a menace for the Sierra Leonean defense. And yes, Alex Iwobi, who was excellent for Everton in the just concluded season, was also great for Nigeria in the middle of the park. And so also is left-back Zaidu Sanusi, whose sheer ingenuity created Nigeria's winning goal deep in stoppage time. The goalkeeper for Nigeria on the day was Adebayo Adeleye, who plays his club football in Hapoel Jerusalem in Israel. And I dare say he had a very great time manning the sticks for Nigeria for the first time in a competitive game. And he made a couple of saves and I think could have done little to the goals he conceded. These are some of the players that excelled on the day for the Super Eagles. And lest I forget also, the standing captain, Kenneth Omeruo, the centre-back, was also a good performer for the Super Eagles. Up next for them will be the AFCON in January, and we hope that a little more players will join and to refresh the squad. This is what the team need if they are going to compete with the rest of Africa.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In Malawi, female footballer Tabitha Chiwenga recently received a hero's welcome home after leading Italy's Serie A in scoring. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Lamek Messina tells us more from Blantyre, Malawi.
Pangolin was the nickname soccer fans and admirers accorded Tabitha Chiwenga soon after her plane touched down at Kamuzu International Airport in the capital Lilongwe, amid captivating pomp and color. Clad in an Inter Milan FC dark blue tracksuit, Chiwenga was all smiles as she was celebrated by Juvio fans who gave her a hero's welcome.
For sure, I feel good because it's the first time to me. People welcome me like that, and I'm really appreciative to everyone who came there to welcome me.
Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera assigned Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation Liana Gakobe Chapota to lead hundreds of people to welcome the first female footballer in Africa to win the Golden Boot in Italy.
As government, we are so proud because Tabitha has put Malawi on the map. She has actually portrayed a good example to the fellow youth that anything is possible.
Later, Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera invited Chawinga for a lunch at the Kamuzu Palace in Lilongwe, alongside her younger sister Tema, also an international footballer and chairperson for women's football, Adre Demigogo.
The president encouraged me a lot. He told me to work hard because I put Malawi in the map and in the whole Africa. He encouraged me to work hard and I put everything in the hand of God. He was happy because of winning Golden Boot, and he told me to be the first one, person to win in Africa. It's not easy, but it's by grace of God.
On his personal Facebook page, President Lazarus Chakwera wrote that Chawinga's historic feat of being the first African player to earn a Golden Boot award is a true demonstration that excellence is a result of hard work and commitment. Chakwera encouraged the 27-year-old football star to continue inspiring Malawian girls to pursue their life dreams, regardless of the many obstacles faced by the girl child. He also said the nation of Malawi is truly honored to be part of her great success. Chawinga's success at Inter Milan, where she is on loan from Chinese club Wuhan, has attracted interest of other foreign teams. But Chawinga says she has not made a choice.
As of now, I didn't choose any club because I'm supposed to go back to Wuhan. So if I go there, it's the time I go to discuss with my club in China. So what they can say, and I will go to discuss with my agent which club I can go.
Some foreign soccer agents have also started flocking to Malawi to scout talented female footballers. Adre Demigogo is the chairperson for the Malawi Women Football Association.
There are a lot of scouters who are coming outside Malawi to check on players. Not only in Tabitha's team, we've got Ascent, we've got Ntopwa, we've got Sivo. So there are a lot of scouters who are coming outside Malawi after they've seen that one player from Malawi is performing well in Italy, in China. To us as an organization, we are very happy and we are proud that this space will go far.
Malawi's soccer analyst and sports journalist Patrick Lunda says Malawi should pull up its socks if it wants to go far with the journey Chawinga's championing.
Generally, what the government can do is they should give a lot of support to women's football development in the country by offering a sponsorship, encouraging young girls to take up women's football, because at the moment it's only Football Association of Malawi which is doing much to encourage young girls to take up the sport, of course, with funding from the World Football Governing Body, FIFA.
In the meantime, Malawi's one and only pangolin, Tabitha Chawinga, says she will continue working hard and aim for even bigger awards in the world football. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In professional golf, American Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open by one shot over Irishman Rory McIlroy at the Los Angeles Country Club in Southern California on Sunday to lift his first major trophy and win his second PGA Tour title.
This is now my second win on the PGA Tour, and first one was surreal, and this one's surreal. So, you know, it hasn't quite hit me yet. Walking up 18 was pretty emotional, and then finishing. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind of the last 5-6 weeks. It's been, I'm just so blessed and humbled to be here.
Wyndham Clark sank a short par putt on the 18th hole to finish the U.S. Open with a score of 10 under par 270 and hold off Rory McIlroy. At the post-tournament news conference, Clark was asked, how hard is it to keep a slim lead during the final holes?
The hardest thing, this is where the game is so mental because your mind starts to race. I mean, obviously, you know, you turn and it's like, man, I should be at 12 or 13 and I should have a 2-3 shot lead. And, you know, and then I'm almost eagle and birdie 14. It's like, all right, I got a 3-shot lead. And it's like, all I got to do is just coast in, and then you make a couple bogeys. And so it's so mental because you have to keep your mind so present. And the minute you get ahead or behind, I feel like you make mistakes, especially at this level. So it's more mentally tough than anything. But I feel like if you just stay within yourself, you can pull off the shots that you need to. And, you know, John and I, we're trying to keep it light. You know, fortunately, I was walking with Ricky and his caddy Ricky, and they're such class acts and great guys, and you know, they were also trying to keep it light the last couple holes, which, you know, just keeps your get your mind away from it just for a quick second, and so that really helped.
Meanwhile, the second place finisher Rory McIlroy won the U.S. Open in 2011, and then he won three more major titles between 2012 and 2014. McIlroy sounded a bit disappointed after falling short of winning his first major in 9 years.
Your golf course was playing, you know, was playing really tricky, and obviously the scores in the final few groups reflected that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel like there was a couple of things that I probably would have done differently, but you know, all in all, I played a solid round of golf. I you know, that one wedge shot on 14. Missed birdie putt on 8. Really, apart from that, I did everything else, you know, the way I wanted to. But yeah, fine margins at this level and at this tournament especially. And but you know, I fought to the very end. I obviously never give up, and I'm getting closer. You know, the more I keep putting myself in these positions, sooner or later it's going to happen for me. And just got to regroup and get focused for Hoylake in a few weeks' time.
That's Irish golf star Rory McIlroy speaking after his second-place finish at the U.S. Open, played at the Los Angeles Country Club in Southern California.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. The Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, announced Monday a multi-year extension of its hosting agreement with Rwanda. Under the new deal, the BK Arena in the capital, Kigali, will stage the BAL playoffs and final in 2024, 2026, and 2028. The same venue was the host for the BAL playoffs and final during the league's first three seasons in 2021, 2022, and 2023. Samson O'Malley joins us now with more African basketball and African volleyball news.
In basketball, 16 countries will take part in the inaugural Giants of Africa Youth Basketball Festival. The festival is part of Giants of Africa, a not-for-profit organization's way of enriching the lives of African youth through sports. Countries that will be participating in the festival include host Rwanda, Tanzania, Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Senegal, Somalia, Uganda, Botswana, Ghana, South Sudan, Morocco, Cameroon, and Mali. The festival is set to take place from August 13th to the 19th in Kigali and will bring together more than 250 youths from 16 countries to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the foundation. Co-founder of the organization, Masai Ujiri, who is the vice chairman and president of the Toronto Raptors of the NBA, said the foundation's aim is to continue to inspire and encourage African youth.
Well, the energy that basketball brings generally is just incredible. I was just at BAL, spent a lot of time with, obviously, basketball people. It's something that we need more of, and that's why we wanted to create the festival too, you know, like to have this moment on the continent where we start believing that we can do it.
Staying with basketball news, Rwanda local basketball governing body FAWABA has named the provisional teams that will represent the country at the Under-16 Zone 5 Africa Basketball Championships qualifiers due in Kigali from June 27th to the 30th. The qualifiers are expected to attract 10 countries, namely Uganda, Burundi, Tanzania, Egypt, Kenya, South Sudan, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Somalia, and the host Rwanda. While Algeria, Angola, Egypt, Mali, Uganda, and host Tunisia have already qualified for the Continental Showpiece, six remaining tickets will be determined through the qualifiers in Kigali. And out of volleyball, Brazilian tactician Paulo do Toso has reached an agreement to rejoin the Rwanda national volleyball team as the head coach. A source at the local volleyball governing body said do Toso won the race for the top job, which a number of coaches were targeting. He's expected in the country at the end of June, where he will put pen to paper on a three-year deal. Do Toso has previously had two spells with Rwanda as head coach from 2010 to 2011 before returning to the hot seat in 2021.
Thank you, Samson O'Malley. Finally, the AP's Mike Reeves with National Basketball Association and Major League Baseball news.
NBA news, a person with knowledge of the negotiations says the Suns have agreed to send Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, and a package of future second-round draft picks to the Wizards in exchange for Bradley Beal. Major League Baseball, the White Sox lost at Seattle 5-1, despite pitcher Lance Lynn tying a franchise record with 16 strikeouts.
You don't really start thinking about records or anything, especially like that, a single game situation. Like, I don't even know how many I had.
The Reds won their eighth straight, 9-7 in 10 innings over the Astros. The Giants beat the Dodgers 7-3 to extend their winning streak to 7. Logan Webb pitched 7 innings to pick up the win and praised the offense for their approach against LA starter Tony Gonsolin.
It's always fun to see the guy scoring runs, and Tony's a really good pitcher, and to be able to manufacture some runs and do some good things was really cool.
The Braves won their sixth in a row, 14-6 over the Rockies. Philadelphia has also won six straight after defeating the A's 3-2. The Rangers overcame a 6-0 deficit to down the Blue Jays 11-7. Texas manager Bruce Bochy.
That's one of our better wins. I'll say since the opening day, you know, that's just a tremendous job they did.
Other MLB winners were the Cardinals, Orioles, Marlins, Angels, Tigers, Brewers, Guardians, Padres, and the Red Sox swept a doubleheader against the Yankees. I'm Mike Reeves.
And that wraps up the June 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.